any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, Father, we're thankful for the time that we've had to hear the testimonies of these tonight and how good and faithful and true you are. It's a blessing to our heart to know that, Lord, you bless not only us but other people all around us. That, Lord, you take care of not only us but others of your children that are here. We pray tonight you'd bless the message and bless the Word of God. May it reach the hearts of those that need to be reached tonight. May it do the work in the hearts of those that it needs to be done in. May the Holy Spirit of God take the Word of God and minister it to our hearts. May we receive it gladly. May we receive it openly. And Lord, I pray there's anybody here tonight that's never been saved, that tonight would be their night of salvation, that tonight they'd turn from their sin and trust the true and living God. And Lord, trust Thee for their salvation tonight. And I pray that, Lord, for Thy people, that You'd comfort them, help them, build them up in the faith, edify them, and strengthen them tonight. And I pray it in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen. A few years ago, there was a famous football player. His name was Gale Sayers, a real popular football player, a pretty good athlete, building some records and made quite a bit of money. After he retired from pro football, he wrote a book, and when he wrote the book, it was kind of an unusual title. He wrote a book that the title of the book was called I'm Third. I'm Third. Naturally, nobody could resist asking what the title of that book meant. Human curiosity and people being nosy like they are, those kind of things intrigue them and they have to know. When Gale Sayers was making an interview with some broadcasting company, I forget what it was, they were interviewing him about his new book and they asked him what the title meant, I'm Third. And Gale Sayers said the title I'm Third means that God is first, that others are second, and I'm third in my life. You know, I thought about that, and that's the way it ought to be for every Christian that's saved and born again. God ought to be first in their life, other people ought to be second, and then we ourselves ought to be third and last place in our life. And yet, you know, when I think about that, I don't know of too many people that that's really true. I think there's a lot of people that God may be first in their life, but then when it comes to number two, they're number two. I mean, if I can't be number one, I'd just soon be number two. If I can't be top dog, I'd just soon be the next dog in line. Amen? And I know very few people that are like that. Not long ago in the Saturday paper, they had an article of a lady who did some type of evangelistic work with children. And that was one of the lessons that she tried to teach those children over and over again. That God should be first in their life. That other people should be second. And that we should be third. Tonight I want to preach a message. And I want to preach it on one word. And I may do more talking than I do preaching, but I want to preach a message on the word others. Others. You know what the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, where we just read, in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now you see what that said? The Bible said that we're to esteem others better than ourselves. The Bible said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When Jesus walked on this earth, he gave a new commandment, and he said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another. There's only one person in the Bible God never told you to love, and that's yourself. He knew you'd do that anyway, amen? He didn't have to tell you that. He knew you'd do that anyway. God in the Bible told you to love God, and He told you to love others, and He told you in the Word of God that we're to love one another. They came to Him one day and asked Him about commandments and what to do. And they asked Him a question, said, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, I know we live in a world where you hear so much of love, you get sick of hearing it. I know we live in a time when that's all people talk about is love, love, love. I get tired of picking up letters that people write to me and say, I appreciate your bulletin, I like your bulletin, but you don't have enough love in your bulletin. You don't have enough of the right emphasis in your bulletin. You got too much hate literature, and what you need is a little bit of love in there. Well, those people know very little what love is really all about. Those people know very little about what love really means and what it really is. I mean, everybody telling you, love this, love that, don't hate, don't be against things, don't go contrary to things, just love everybody and love everything that comes along. But yet there's an element of truth in what's said in the world today, and that is that Christian people need to learn to love other people. They need to be concerned about other people. They need to have a real love in their heart for other people, and so many of us tonight don't have a love in our heart for others the way we ought to. You know, you ever think about how much time you spend on yourself? You ever think about that? You ever think how much time you spend in your life just on yourself? Now, you rest your body every night, you sleep, that's spent on yourself. You get up and you eat, that's spent on yourself. You get up and bathe, and that's spent on yourself. Now, some of you don't waste too much time there, amen? Some could use a little bit more time there, but that's for yourself. You go to a job and work, well, you say, well, I work for my family. Well, you're working to feed your face too, amen? And it's done for yourself. And sometimes I get tired of myself. You ever get tired of yourself? I do. Man, I get tired of myself. I just get tired of me, and I say, boy, I wish I'd get rid of you, amen? I just get tired of myself and all that I do. The routine things, the duties that I have to do for myself. I mean, all the things that you have to do just to keep your body functioning, just to keep your body operating. All the time it is spent on yourself. And that's the problem with some of you Christian tonight. The reason you don't have victory is because you're just too wrapped up in yourself. Now, you want to know why Moses got discouraged? I'll tell you why. He got preoccupied with himself. He got thinking about himself. He said, this people that you've given me is more than I can bear. God didn't ask him to bear them. God just asked him to lead them and preach to them, teach them. God didn't ask him to bear them. He said he would bear them. He didn't have to do it. And he got so taken up with himself and all of his problems that he got discouraged and he got defeated. Moses never got discouraged as long as his mind was on other people. As long as he thought about other people, he never got discouraged nor defeated. Now, everybody in the Bible that gets discouraged at one time or another gets preoccupied with the self. Oh, Elijah, you know what got him upset? He's afraid some woman's going to kill him. He got thinking about himself, and when he did, he ran and hide. And what happened? The Lord had to teach him a few lessons and show him some things. When Jonah got preoccupied with himself, he got his mind off of other people and on himself, then that's when he got in trouble. And the trouble with some of us is that we just wrapped up in ourselves. All we think of is ourselves. And a preacher one time said, those that are wrapped up in their self make a mighty small package. And some of us are mighty little, amen? Now, tonight I'd like for a few minutes to bring a message and just talk about others. Others. Jesus' motto for his life was others. Do you know why he came into this world? It wasn't for himself. He came for other people. Do you know why he healed people? Not to benefit himself. He did it for others. Do you know why he fed the multitudes? Not so he could exalt himself. He did it for others. Even when he died on the cross of Calvary, you know what he said? Some of the first words that came out of his mouth, you know what they were? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You check your Bible and see. Before Jesus Christ ever asked for a need for himself on the cross of Calvary, before he ever considered his own condition, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His motto for life was other people, others. Now, what's your motto for life? Others or self? Do you live for other people? Do you think about other people? Do you try to help other people? There will be no success in God's work until we accept the philosophy that we need to be concerned and helping other people. Now, quickly, there's two ways you can help people, and we're going to look at these ways tonight. Number one, have you ever helped anybody spiritually? Spiritually. Now, I'm convinced that the main help that many people need is spiritual help. I'm convinced that there's some people in this world that you're going to waste your time, you're going to waste your money, and you're going to waste your effort, and you're going to waste your talents and ability if you try to help them physically before you try to help them spiritually. Listen, the main problem that people have in this world is not a physical problem, it's a spiritual problem. And I'm convinced that there's some people in this world that no matter how much physical and material help you give them, you're not helping them, you're contributing to what they're doing, and you're never going to help that individual until you help them spiritually to either find God and get saved, or as a Christian to get right with God and live in a right way. Now, listen, you may not believe that, but I'm going to tell you. The government of the United States is the greatest proof that people need to be helped spiritually before they're helped physically. The welfare programs in America have not worked. Why? Because they had a wrong emphasis and they tried to feed them before they tried to lead them to Jesus. Amen? Listen, the food stamps in America are evidence that you can't help people physically until you help them spiritually and they're in a right relation with God. The more you give them, the more they want. The more you hand to them, the more they stick out their hand. The more you try to do for them, the more they expect you to do for them. And there's many a people in this world, and until we help them spiritually, we can never be any help to them physically. Have you ever helped anybody spiritually? Now, you say, well, what can I do for somebody spiritually? Well, you can lead them to the Lord. You can show them how to be saved. You can lead somebody else to the Lord, and you can lead them to Jesus Christ. I have found a great cure for self-pity. I found a great cure for discouragement. I found a great cure for despondency. And you know what it is? Leading somebody else to Jesus Christ. You notice when you get out there and win somebody to the Lord and they're getting saved, you're kneeling down there beside them, you got your arm around them, they're praying and asking the Lord to forgive them and save them. Do you notice that you don't think about any of your problems? You don't think about yourself? You don't think about the things that are wrong in your life? All you're thinking about is how glad you are that that soul is getting saved and they're getting born again. Now, the trouble some of you just got your mind on yourself so much you can't see nobody else. The trouble with some of us, we're just so preoccupied with ourselves and what we're doing, what we're getting, we can't see somebody else. Some of you tonight, you're hung up on yourself. I'll tell you how to get off that. Get out there and see somebody that's lost and dying and going to spend eternity in hell. Get on your knees and ask God to give you a vision of people dying and burning and going to hell. Get on your knees and ask God to help you lead somebody spiritually to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it's one of the greatest cures you ever had in your life. I was in school one time, and I got kind of discouraged. There was one or two times when I got discouraged every day, amen? And there was times when I felt like quitting, sometimes more than others. I'd like the other fellow. I filled out my resignation papers a lot of time. I just never handed them in, amen? A lot of times I felt like quitting. A lot of times I became discouraged, and it was a Sunday afternoon. Bad time to be discouraged, amen? But I was discouraged on a Sunday afternoon. I know that the Lord is no respecter of days. You can get discouraged any day, amen? It don't have to be. And some people make the mistake when they get discouraged, they stay home. That's the wrong thing to do. When you get discouraged, run to church, amen? Be there when they unlock the door. See if you can be the first one in there, amen? Because if you get discouraged, you need it more than anybody else, amen? Some people get in a mess and sin or do something wrong, they get defeated, they stay away from church. That ain't the time to stay away. That's the time to come. I went to church that morning. Doctor wrote me. He brought a good message and did what he should, and I just didn't do what I should. That's all. And one of those moments there, and you know, this lady, she stood and said, "The money been flowing in this month." Well, that's something to praise the Lord for, amen. Because there ain't many of them months that happen. And I didn't have much money, and I didn't have any material possessions as far as that is. And I looked around, got kind of complaining, grumbling. I hadn't done much for the Lord, and I got sitting thinking how dumb I was and ignorant and what I was going to do and what I couldn't do. And then I got, you know, it really discouraged me after a while, and I said, I better get out of here. So I got me a bunch of tracks and a hitchhiker ride downtown Pensacola and just started passing out some tracks. And I got down there and met a Roman Catholic boy who's about 19 years old. And I got talking to him about the Lord and being saved. He said, well, I never heard that. I never heard about being saved. And I got my Bible out and I showed him how to be saved and showed him how he could trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I said, would you like to accept the Lord as your Savior? He said, I sure would. And I said, well, you know, you can get saved right now. And he said, is that right? And I told him, yeah, today is the day of salvation. Amen. I said, God wrote that just for you. See, I mean, right there it is. I tell them that. Amen. That's for them. Amen. That's for anybody. Believe it. And he said, you mean I can get saved right here? And I said, yes, you can just kneel and pray. We knelt down there and prayed, and he received the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior. Man, he is a weeping, a crying. I was having a good time rejoicing. I'll tell you what, I left him, went on down the street and met somebody else. They got saved. I left him, went on down the street and met somebody else, and they got saved. And I'll tell you, by the time I got home, I'd forgot all the problems that I ever had. I didn't care if I never had another dime in my pocket. I didn't care if I owned anything, because I found somebody that was in need, and God used me to help them. Others. Did you ever lead somebody to the Lord? I'll tell you something else some of you can do to help people spiritually. You can help new Christians and new converts to grow in the Lord. Now, this is where some of you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, some of you have a better opportunity and more of a chance and are better equipped and talented to do this than a lot of preachers are. Some of you have a real talent. Some of you have a talent for being able to take somebody and just teach them some things and sit down and show them some things out of the Bible and show them what they ought to be doing and show them how they ought to be growing in the Lord. Did you ever help a new Christian? Did you ever just take them under your wing, kind of take them under your arm and just kind of take them out? And say, pick one out and say, I'm going to help that person. I'm going to try to show them something about the Bible. I'm going to try to show them something about Jesus. I'm going to try to encourage them. I'm going to try to encourage them to come to church. If I can go give them a ride, I'm going to give them a ride to church. I'm going to tell them what the Bible says about baptism. I'm going to tell them what the Bible says about witnessing. I'm going to help them in the Lord. Did you ever help anybody like that? Did you? That's good for you. Amen. It's good for you to do that. And some of you that are saved could do that real fine. I mean, you take somebody aside. Some of you have a gift for gab. You could just get right there with them, put their arm around them and talk and talk and talk and talk. Some of you got the time to do it. Some of you got the opportunity to do it. But you're not going to do it. You know why? Because all you can think about is you. You got to get your mind on other people. You got to get your mind off of the problems you've got and get them on some people who got some real problems. You got to get concerned about other people. You know, one of the greatest blessings that you have outside of seeing somebody get saved is to see them grow and mature in the Lord. Amen? I mean, you get so many of them that don't stick. Isn't it a blessing when you see one that does stick? Isn't it a blessing? I'll tell you, it excites me. I don't know about you, man. When you see somebody get saved here and I see them get baptized, I'm excited. Amen? I see them come to church, I'm excited. I see got a Bible in their hand, I'm excited. Amen? It's encouraging to me to see some Christian grow. And you know what? The Lord could use you. The Lord could use you in a real way to help somebody grow in the Lord. I'll tell you something else spiritually you can do. You can help bear the burdens of other Christians. Did you ever bear anybody else's burden? I used to say, Brother Jim, I got more than I can bear. That's your problem, see? That's your problem. The problem with us is we just think we got more than we can carry and we're not concerned with trying to help somebody else out. Jack Hiles one time said a lady came to him and he said that. The lady said, Dr. Hiles said, I'm getting ready to have a nervous breakdown. Most of them are. I told you about that. They done been through or looking forward or going to plan on having one real soon. And she said, I'm just getting ready to have a nervous breakdown. I guess it's not funny. Some people really that way. I feel sorry for them. I'm not making fun of people like that. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes situations are kind of funny. And sometimes people think they're going to have a nervous breakdown. They're pretty far from it. But she came in. She said, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. Dr. House, he sat down there and counseled with her and talked to her for a good while. Said one thing and another. And of course, he's a preacher. And she thought, you know, he'd say, well, what you need to do is read this and pray and do this and that and read the Bible. One thing and another. He did. He said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, you go tomorrow and get you a dozen flowers. Go get a dozen. And he said, go to the hospital. And when you get in the hospital, just get on one floor and look in the doors and see the loneliest person you can find in the room that nobody's visiting. And he said, go in there and say, I just come by to give you this flower and talk to you and see if I can help you in any way. And he said, now when you get done with that, the next day go get you a box of candy. And he said, then go back on another floor and come in and say, would you like a piece of candy? and just sit down beside them and say, I'd just stop by to talk to you and want to know if I could help you in any way. Brother Howe said he sent her out that way. Sure enough, she went out and did it. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, he saw her and said, how you doing? She said, well, I put my nervous breakdown off. She said, I canceled it. And he said, why? Because she said, I saw some people that got some real problems. Amen. She said, I saw some people that had some real burdens. And you know what? She got bearing other people's burdens. And hers didn't seem as near as heavy as they was before. She got helping other people with the load that they were bearing. And it just didn't seem like the load she was bearing was near as heavy as it was. We can help bear others' burdens. We can help people by fellowshipping with them. Now, we can help people spiritually. Number two, we can help people materially, physically. There's only two ways you can help people. That's spiritually and materially. And you can help them physically. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, lay by him in store as God hath prospered, a man's to do it. The Bible said that Paul said here in the book of Philippians, ye did well that you communicated with me in giving and receiving. Now, you can help somebody spiritually and you can help somebody materially. Now, there's some rules that you want to remember when you help somebody materially. Number one, you want to try to make sure that person is saved and try to help someone that is saved. The Bible said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those that are the household of the faith. Now, you ought to try to make sure they're saved. Now, there's times when you can help a lost person materially, but not too often. There's times when you can help them physically, but not too often if you haven't helped them spiritually. We get calls all the time, and I guess because our name is one of the first church names in the phone book, Bible Baptist. See? I mean, you open up Baptist, and there you are, Bible right there. We're one of the first church in the phone book, so we get a lot of calls. And people calling me, and can you help me? Well, I say, what kind of help you want? There's all kinds of help you can get, you know. But I know what they want. I'm just trying to see if they know what they want. And I know exactly. Well, we've been having it rough, and we want you to help us. I say, well, how did you get our name? He said, well, that's kind of mean. Well, I'm mean at times. You just don't know me. Amen. And I said, how'd you get my name? Well, we just picked up the phone book. I said, do you ever come to church here? No. Where do you go to church at? Nowhere. I said, how come you want the church to help you now? Well, we thought that's what churches were for, was to help people in need. And now, a lot of times I've talked to them, and a lot of times I've went on out and gave them some food and just kicked myself all the way home after I did. Because here there are a bunch of big fat people laying up in the house, lazy as anybody you ever seen, saying they're on their last leg. Well, they got plenty of legs to go on, it looked like to me. Some of them could live on 40 days and 40 nights what they had in their body without ever eating a meal again. Now, when you help somebody, you want to try to make sure they're saved, make sure they're not lazy, and make sure they got a real need. Now, you follow those three rules and you'll be doing all right. Make sure they're saved, make sure they're not lazy, and make sure that they have a real need. A lot of people don't have a need, they just want to use you at that time. I've had people get mad at me lately. They get mad at me every now and then. Dr. Oakman, not the only one they get mad at. I got an enemy or two somewhere, I'm sure. But they get mad at me. Call me on the phone, will you marry me? Well, I said, I'm already married. Thank you for the invitation, but I'm already spoken for, amen? I said, here she is. She'll speak pretty loud if you give her a chance right here. And seriously, they say, will you marry me? I say, well, how'd you get my name? Well, there you in the phone book. There you are. You're a preacher. There you are. I said, I'd be glad to talk to you. And I talked to them, and neither one of them saved, don't know God, don't know nothing about the Bible, don't know nothing about Jesus and the church, and they want to get married. And I tell them, I'm sorry, I won't marry you. Maybe one of them be saved and backslid, and the other one be lost. Don't know they're saved. They say, well, will you marry? I say, no, I won't. I'm sorry. You know, I'm tired of people who just want to use the church when they want to use it. Amen? Well, you say that's not right. I don't know what's right or not, but that's just the way I do it. Amen? People ain't got no use for God except when they get married and buried, and that God won't have much use for them either. Amen? And some people you can help materially. Now, you say, how can I help them? Well, maybe you can give somebody some housing sometime and put them up. Did you ever put anybody up in your house? Huh? Did you ever put anybody up in your house? Did you ever let anybody stay in your house? That's what it's for, to live in, isn't it? Amen. You know, when I came to Pensacola to go to school, I wasn't what you call rich. I wasn't one of the 10 richest men in the world, nor in Pensacola, nor even in the north part of the county of Pensacola. And I didn't have much money, and I didn't have any place to stay. In fact, I didn't have, I had the Lord and a Bible and one suitcase, and everything I owned was in that. And I didn't know anybody. I didn't know nothing. And we came to a church at night, and Dr. Ruckman, he's there, and we came up and met him. You know, we figured we'd get a grand invitation, and he'd say, "We're so glad to see you at this school." You know, and we told him, I said, "You are?" And he said, yeah. You know, that's all we got. We got 3 years out of him just in a row, amen? And we wanted to be petted like everybody else, amen? Just like you. Well, yes, I'm glad you're here. Good to say, you know, we wanted to be made over and praised and lifted up, and here we were. We had going to be good, you know. Going to your school, we somebody. We wasn't nobodies, and we found it out real quick, amen? Well, I'll tell you what he did do. He said, "You got a place to stay?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, you don't get one, I'll get you a place at church tonight." I said, "Well, that's good." And he said, "There's a couple boys here. Where are they at? We was here. And what's their name?" He didn't know their name. "Oh, over here. You go and stand. Got a place to stay?" "No." Some lady raised her hand. "We got a place to stay." She said, "I got a trailer. They can stay there as long as they want to." Man, she put us up in the trailer. Next morning, she come knocking on the door. Her house was close to the trailer. She said, "Got the eggs and bacon ready if you're ready." And I said, "Hallelujah. I'm setting on go. Amen." She said, "Breakfast ready, come on in." And we went in, and my mom and dad tried to teach me manners. "Yes, sir, no, sir, thank you." And I came in the lady's house, and I said, "Ma'am, I sure do appreciate this. I appreciate you putting this up." And I said, "I just know no other way to be honest. I said, I ain't got much money, but I said, whatever you want or whatever you want us to pay, you figure it's fair." She said, "Didn't ask for money when you came." She said, "I'm not going to ask for no money when you leave." She said, "You can stay as long as you want, eat as much as you have need of, and said, use anything that we got until you find your place." Now, I'll never forget that. See, somebody helped me at a time when I needed some help. I won't forget that. Well, you say, "Well, I can't do much." You might be able to put somebody up. You might be able to give somebody some of your clothes. You know, I've got more clothes now in my life than I ever had before. But I haven't bought a suit, and I couldn't tell you when. You know why? Because the Lord's people have given me clothes. I mean, they give me a suit and a tie, shirt, socks, and so forth and so on. And, you know, none of your business from then on. But they do. I mean, I think tonight everything I got on, the Lord's people have given to me. Everything. This tie, this shirt, these clothes, the shoes I'm wearing, the socks I've got on. God's people have given to me. And you know, we say, "Well, I ain't got much." Well, you don't know. You may have something somebody can use. You never know. You might help somebody out. You might feed somebody. You might give them a meal. It might be a little bit of money that you've got. Maybe the Lord gave you a little extra money. And I'll tell you what, if you pass it on for the Lord's work, it'll increase. It'll grow. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive Him. You put a 10 down, He'll shove a 20 back in your face. Amen. You put a 20 down, there'll be 40 coming your way before you turn around. You put 40 down, 80 will come flying in from somewhere you never even thought about it. Amen? Beloved, tonight I'm talking about other people. How long has it been since you ever helped anybody? Did you help anybody this week? Have you ever helped anybody? You know, years ago, a man was born over in England, 1829. Poor. He married a woman. The woman was a Christian. He is a Christian. She was a great Christian lady. She read the Bible through 8 times by the time she was 12 years old. When they got married, the Lord had called her husband to preach. But he felt burdened for a certain group of people. People that nobody else wanted to go to. The bums, the harlots, the scum of this world. And he felt burdened that way. And he was a great preacher and a great soldier and a great man for God. And he tried to bring these people to church. And the church he was a member of was kind of a upper crud church, if you know what I mean. You've got upper and lower crud. He was in one of the upper crud churches. And they didn't like the class of people that he brought in. Well, they were pretty bad. I mean, first time they came, they left grease on the floor and marks on the wall. Dirty. I mean, just dirty. And they come to him nicely as they could, and they said, we're concerned about people, and we love people, and look out for the billy goat, but. Here it comes, amen. Billy goat Christian, but. We like him, you know, but. But we just don't feel that our ministry is to that class of people. And said, we just appreciate you didn't bring them back anymore. He went home and told his wife, and they prayed about it. And they said, if nobody else wants to go, then we'll go and preach to them. And you know what he did? He got my old drum and went down in the corner and started holding street meetings, open air, just preaching. Some guys came by, were impressed with what he was doing, and he said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm reaching the people that nobody else wants to reach. And he said, these people never come to church and none of the churches want them. He said, I'm going to get down here. He said, God's burdened me for their souls and I'm going to try to win them. And the guy, you know what he said? He said, well, I'll pay you to preach on the street. He said, I'll give you a salary. Had been wanting to take a picture of the Salvation Army to print. And so he called the newspaper and he said, our army looks better now than it ever did before. And if you want a picture, now's the time to take a picture. Amen. And they came down there and took a picture. And General William Booth led his life like that, ministering to those people. And when he got up in years, near death, they had a meeting of the Salvation Army in England. And was the first one that he had never been able to come to. He was almost blind and he was dying. And when he was laying there dying and unable to come to the meeting, they asked that he would send a message to that meeting. They asked that he would send something that they could read that was a message from General William Booth, their leader. Something that they could read to the people that even though he wasn't there, they could know that he was still alive and still preaching. And he did, and they got the telegram, and naturally when they got the telegram, everybody was excited. They opened it up, and everybody listened, thousands of people with their ears attentive. And you know, when they opened it up, it said one word. And it said the word others. And then it said General William Booth. And that's all it said. Others. Others. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me to live for others that I may live like Thee. Others. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Tonight, the message has been a little bit different for me. And I told you when I began it might be. But the Lord laid this message on my heart. And He preached it to me long before I ever got here. He preached it to me long before I ever preached it to you. But the Bible tells us that we're to live for others. And I find myself that the moments in my life when I'm spiritually defeated are the moments when I live for myself and not for other people. The times of victory in my life that I have, many of those are the times when I do and live for other people. I look back over my life and I look at the places where people help me. I look at the man that preached the gospel to me and told me about Jesus. Told me there's a real hell and there was a real heaven. And I got saved because of his preaching. I tell you what, there'll be a special place in my heart for all eternity because of him.
I'll never forget what the Lord used him to tell to me. And I think of the Lord leading me to school. I could have went to anywhere. Honestly, when I came to this school, I was thinking about going to Bob Jones University. The Lord brought me here, grounded me, rooted me in the Word of God. And I'll never be able to forget the place Dr. Ruckman has in my heart, not because of him, but because of the Word of God. Because what he taught me about the Bible and life and living, I'll never forget it. The people that helped me as I came through school, sometimes to give me a $10 bill, sometimes to give me a meal, sometimes just to take me home and let me spend the day with their family, sometimes just to give me an encouraging word or a helping hand along the way. Those are the people that I'll never forget. The world may not know who they are, but I know who they are. People may not think they're great people, but they've been great people in my life. You know, that's what I want to be. I want to be somebody that helps other people. I want to be somebody that God uses to minister and to help other people. I want to do it. I don't always do it, but I want to. I don't always perform it, but I want to. And I pray that God would burden every one of our hearts in the same way. Tonight, some of you are so defeated, and you're so discouraged. And humanly speaking, some of you may have grounds to be that way. But I'll tell you how to get rid of your defeats and discouragement. Get your mind on other people. See, some people got some real troubles. Some of you wives, look around at some of these wives who have husbands that are drunkards and never know when they'll be home. You'll be thankful. Some of you husbands, look around at some of the men who have wives that run around and they couldn't trust them long enough to go to work. You'll be thankful. Some of us parents, we need to look around some of these other people. The Lord has been so good to us and blessed us in so many ways. Others. The Lord Jesus Christ lived, died, was buried, was resurrected, and is coming again for other people. For others. May this be our motto. May this be the philosophy that we accept as Christian people, to try to help other people as much as we can. Father, preach this message to the hearts of these people here tonight. Open our eyes to others that are around us, lost and dying and going to hell. Others that we can help. Maybe it's just a little thing. Maybe it's just a little word of encouragement. Maybe it's just a little bit of fellowship. Maybe it's just a meal. Maybe it's just, Lord, some little way that it seems so small to us. Lord, it can be so big and mean so much. Tonight, I thank you for using people in my life. I thank you for the other people that have helped me, the place that they hold in my heart and the position that they have. Lord, I want to be like that. I want to be like you, Lord. I want to live for other people. I want to be so taken up with others that I don't have time to worry about myself. May this be the prayer of every Christian here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What number? 388. 388. We'll stand together as we sing. If you're not saved tonight, you need to be saved. We want you to come. We'll show you how to be saved. You are saved and you need to come and pray, you come and pray. I don't have to come tap you on the shoulder. Nobody has to twist your arm. The Lord spoke to your heart. When God speaks to you, you know it in no uncertain term. You come tonight. you need, do what it says, 388. Have thine own way. Sing on the first one.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
I read the other day of John Knox. He'd been in prison for a while and he got out. He came home to be with his wife. And they were after him. He lived a life running, preaching the gospel and trying to escape the government, never knowing where he'd sleep, never knowing what he'd eat. He said his wife woke up one night in the middle of the night and he wasn't there. She looked where he was at. And he was over on the floor, cold, laying prostrate, stretched out, weeping and crying, saying, God, don't let them die and go to hell. God, they need you so much. She said, John, why don't you come back in bed? He said, you haven't been to bed. You haven't been to sleep. Why don't you come back and sleep? And he said, I can't sleep. He said, there's no way that I can rest. There's no way that I can sleep. But I know there's so many out there dying and going to hell. She said he stayed there all night weeping and crying and praying. I read that and thought. I said, here he had no home and no place to live, never knowing where his next meal's coming from, never knowing if he'd spend the next night in jail. He was so taken up with other people and others that his life vanished completely out of view. God, give us a burden. I don't mean something phony. I don't mean anything artificial. I mean something real. Real burden for other people. That God would open our eyes and see some people got some real needs. And burden us to help them out. You do as this song says on the second verse, the Lord spoke into your heart. Come.
Have thine own way.
Sing on the last one.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my
Father, we long to be like Thee. We long to live like You did. We long to think like You thought. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We know that the only way we can really love and be concerned about other people the way we ought to is when we have the mind of Christ. We pray that You'd give us that mind and that attitude. Lord, it's not natural for us to love other people more than we love ourselves. The only way we can do it is for the love that You've given us to become so strong and great in our life and real that we'd have a burden for other people. Lord, for these that come and at the altar tonight, whatever their need may be, I pray that You'd help them. whatever their burden, their problem, their concern, why ever they prayed, I pray that you'd give them complete victory over it tonight. But Lord, some that didn't come and maybe should, I pray that you'd help them. Lord, I pray that you'd be with these people here tonight. May they see that I love them, that I'm concerned about them. Lord, I want to do whatever I can to help them. I don't want to hinder them. I want to try to help them. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a real burden for other people. Open our eyes, Lord. May we see not just ourselves, but others that are around us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you and good night.